There's one Bible verse I looked at in the light of what we're touching on today, 2 Peter 3:9.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the one. Mm-hmm.
Should be our favorite.
Right after 1 Peter.
That's our favorite Bible verse. Should be every Christian's favorite Bible verse. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering or patient towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Mm. Imagine if God got impatient on the 24th of April, 1972, the day before I got saved, and he shut the door of grace.
Wow. Wow.
And so we exist. We have everlasting life. Death has lost its sting for us because of the patience of God.
Mm. Welcome to the Find Out How Many Modern Slang Words Ray Comfort Knows game, where we find out how many modern slang words Ray Comfort knows.
Good.
Okay, Ray Comfort. I saw this online. A very well-known online personality had someone do it to them. So I'm going to do it to you, Ray Comfort, to see how many modern slang words you know. I doubt Mark or Oscar know them either because they don't know much.
Come on.
But we'll see if they can help you at all.
No, I don't know that one.
All right, Ray, listen closely. Should I do it with my air voice?
That's okay.
I thought you were.
What are you? Okay, Ray, word number one, sus.
Sus, that's really old.
What?
Sus.
What's
Everyone knows what sus is.
That's sus. What's it mean?
I don't know. But it's really old.
Ark and Mosker.
Was that intentional?
Oh, that's
no,
funny.
Arc.
It's, yeah, like it's they suspect, found, right?
Suspicious.
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 Yeah, it's all,
I have I'm a part of a chat group that's a bunch of guys that play basketball that are in their young 20s.
And is so it
they,
lit?
They keep me young with this stuff.
Okay.
They slay.
Good, good, good. Lit. That's old, Mark. Wow. Okay, good. Giving the impression that something is questionable or dishonest.
There's an actual definition.
Suspicious. Yes, of course.
Or suspect.
Suspicious. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Ready, Ray?
No.
Bet.
What?
Bet?
Bet.
Bet?
Bet.
Bet.
Oh,
B-E-T.
Bet. Oh, that's what you do on a horse.
I knew you were going to say that. Ark.
What is happening to you?
I have no idea. Seriously. Maybe because I've been traveling.
You're listexic.
Bet?
Ark and Mosker.
Is it just what it means? Bet? I bet that you're right or wrong.
It's like, cool. Like, cool, good, yeah.
See, the goat.
An expression. An expression that means, I agree, good news. Yeah, Oscar's on. Yeah, yeah, cool, yeah, bet. Huh. Oh, bet, bet.
We sound so old right
And that's
now,
not
guys.
Cap.
No. Oh, Mark. Hey, dude, you better not be looking up stuff on
no,
your computer.
No, cap's lying. Oh. The kids do it all the time.
Okay. Yeet.
I didn't know that one.
Yeet?
Great
you know
comfort.
Cap.
Yeet.
C-A-P
it's,
cap?
Yeah.
I didn't know
guys,
that.
I'm talking.
All right.
Sorry, master.
It's a cross between wheat and yeast.
Wait, what's the word?
Yeet.
Yeet?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Oh,
yeah, Oscar doesn't even know this one.
I don't. I hear it said all the time.
Yeet. To violently throw an object that you deem to be worthless, inferior, or just plain garbage.
Do it. Do it right now. Mark, do it to easy. Throw something worthless.
Ray, something. Well, let's take a quick pause. Ray, what I want to know is what were the slang terms in your day?
Cool, dude.
No, you didn't have dude.
No, that was just surf terms.
Yeah,
like what? Yeah.
Did you guys have cowbunga?
No, that was just stupid.
Cowbunga? Where did that come from?
It's from Hawaii.
Ninja Turtles, right?
Hawaii. That was when you got a big wave, you'd yell.
Seriously?
Yeah, it was like a big cow taking you off. I don't know what it was. Just
cowbunga,
stupid. But I remember the,
cowbunga, dude.
What was some of your slang surfers?
I can't remember.
Rad?
It's my past. It's
tubular?
All forgotten.
You know, I always tripped out on Oscar because
tripped
he would
out?
Always say rad.
I still
like,
say it.
I'm like, what is wrong with Oscar? That's like from the 80s.
Yeah, no.
I hold on to that one with intent.
No, but they say it now, though.
It
the kids
back.
Are
yeah, you're
it's
welcome.
From the 60s. The 80s got it from the 60s.
Rad?
Yeah, of
no.
course.
I just know I brought it back.
Yeah, that okay. was one of our surfing
Easy
films.
Was an original Valley Girl. I mean, totally
tubular.
Totally,
like, totally.
Gag me with a spoon.
Gag me with a spoon.
No, what was the other one? Gag me with a spatula.
Totally tubular.
All right, Ray, we continue our game.
How many?
Billions. Billions. Salty.
Salty?
Salty.
Some good taste?
Salty. Mark, you got to know salty.
Salty.
You don't hear your kids say this,
like,
John?
I'm thinking salty is like... You're giving me some pushback. You're being...
rude.
Yeah. Yeah, rude.
You've got attitude.
Yeah, attitude. I think that's better, yeah.
Well, when someone is upset over something little, oh, they're salty, being salty. Yeah. Okay, couple. Like, oh, there's Cap. What's Cap mean?
You're lying.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was an
English.
You didn't know that?
No.
I've heard it, but I never knew what it meant.
Lying.
Cap, another word for lying. It can be used like no cap, or you can say stop capping.
Who makes these up?
Ray, we're educating you today.
I know. Thank you.
Okay, I'll do two more.
Cap.
Extra.
No.
That's what you yell when you're selling newspapers.
Like too much to handle?
Yeah, over the
extra,
top.
Extra, extra. Hear all about
it's
it.
It's like you're bringing in too much heat. Like pull it back. Simmer down.
Yeah, well, Mark, what did you say, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Oscar had a better definition for that.
Ray, where does that come from, though? Extra, extra, hear all about it.
Oh, because he's got some more papers.
His quota.
Extra, being over the top, excessive dramatic behavior.
Yeah.
Okay, last one. Bussin'.
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 That's when you can't find a taxi.
I'd love to hear Ray interact with like teenagers today, and they're using all these words on them.
What does it mean?
Do it daily.
Oscar, what does it mean?
Bussin'? I actually don't know this one. I hear it all the time.
Do you really? I can't find it. What you would say it's if
cool.
something was really good. That's bussin'.
Bussin'. Is cop on there? Like I copped it?
That's stealing, right?
No.
I copped it as like you got a good deal, like you stole it because you got a good deal. You know, like if I buy a pair of basketball shoes at retail price and they're going for $500, I copped them.
I got bougie, drip, oof, finna, simp, mid, all these.
The funny
simp.
Thing about bougie is it's a reiteration of the bourgeois.
Yeah, bourgeoisie.
Yeah, 40s.
So bougie. Ray would have probably guessed that one.
He's out.
He's like, I'm done with this, man.
YOLO.
Anyway.
YOLO. Remember YOLO?
Yeah. YOLO. You only live once?
Yeah, that's right.
Unless you're Jesus.
Okay, what about this one? Last one. IYKYK.
Wait, IYI.
If you know, you know.
Did you look that up?
Nope.
Did you know that one?
No, I knew that one, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a text thing.
IYKYK.
No one says it, though.
I-Y-K-Y-K.
You don't actually say it. You text
don't?
It. No, you text it.
LMK.
Don't do that. They'll be questioning your gender if you keep talking like that.
So anyway, these are all stupid, if you ask me. I miss the slang terms from our day. Seriously, they're dumb. Anyway, my kids, because I always get frustrated with my kids because I hear them say this stuff. And like, they're all saying brah. Like, stop it, man. Anyway, I don't care.
I have no problem with any of this.
Oscar loves it. All right, friends, we have a comment. This is from Voyager 115. Amazing. Ray is full of sage wisdom. Mark has the quotes. And Oscar is a witty theologian. Huh. Scotty keeps the whole thing together.
Amazing. No, seriously.
No,
it's not.
Don't you remember the challenge he gave everyone?
That man, what it was.
And look at my humility to read it. Yeah, I didn't have to.
I think that's great.
It shows my meaning.
Well, we would have read it if you did.
I reckon that's really yo.
That's bussing right there.
That's really yo. Yeah. All right.
I like you.
Laugh and smile.
Well, he didn't want to lie because he'd be capping.
Yeah.
That's all true. Right. Good point.
But we have a big, fat, super cool shout out. This is a shout out to our sisters, Lily and Rebecca from Cornerstone Bible Church in Lake Stevens, Washington. That's where Rachel and I were this weekend. Did a marriage conference there. And what a church. Let me just tell you guys, Pastor Kerry Green, awesome, awesome brother. This is my third trip out there. I spoke for them on a Sunday morning, did a conference on idolatry, and then they asked us to do a marriage conference. And just a sweet body of believers. That's where we'd be fellowshipping if we lived out in that area.
Really?
Very solid, yeah.
Wow.
And Kerry has a twin brother, Chris.
Harry?
Chris, who, Harry.
Man, I would love to have a twin, an identical twin.
They are very...
I think one is enough, right?
No, seriously, for evangelism, think what you could do. Freak people out.
You could freak people out. Wow. They brush their hair in a different direction. One has a beard,
one
has a goatee.
One faces north, one faces south?
That's how you can tell them apart, but they're very identical. But godly, godly men, solid church. And these two sweet young ladies came up, big listeners to the podcast, and asked if we could give them a shout out. So Lily and Rebecca, awesome. It was great meeting you. My wife loved talking to you ladies. God bless you. Thank you for listening. And thank you for liking no one on the podcast but me. That means a lot.
Did you know that, speaking of twins, my wife's dad is a twin, and so is her mom?
Really?
Yeah. She's got twins on both sides.
No way.
Wow.
That's just random facts.
No punchline?
Random facts by Oscar Navarro.
I'm waiting for the punchline.
No, I know. Yeah, I can tell you are. There's no punchline.
You did another silly joke without a punchline, Oscar. What was it? Oh, no. I mean, without saving it for the podcast.
I texted something to you guys.
Yeah. We don't care, Oscar.
You're welcome.
All right. This podcast is brought to you by Tough Questions. Tough Questions. We've talked about Tough Questions many times before. What's wrong, Mark? Your ears burning?
No, I'm just seeing if it sounds as strange. I'll use the word stupid. With the headphones on or not when you're saying your hello friends.
It's unconditional stupidity, Mark. Doesn't matter what you do.
Oh, here's what it is. For Valentine's Day, Kelly asked me to take her to one of those restaurants where they prepare the food right in front of you. So I'm taking her to Subway.
That's good.
That was good.
Really good.
It made me laugh even though I knew it again. Uh-huh. Oh, that's really good. All right. So the Tough Questions. It's a great course, friends. Encourage you to get it. Mark Gray and I are on it. No Oscar.
I didn't exist yet.
Yeah. And it will train you on how to answer tough questions. We got it in a DVD form. It's a course with all kinds of good stuff. Or you could get it MP4 download.
And in case you don't have a DVD player, we also have it in VHS. And A-Trap.
And they are tough questions. We couldn't answer any of them.
That's where we
the whole
off.
Thing is you guys just saying, I don't know.
What does that mean? That's tough.
That's a good question.
Where we have no idea what we're saying or doing. Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, check it out. Fryals, and don't forget the Living Waters mug. And the Evidence Study Bible, all at... Living Waters.
You're a natural reverberator. Did you know that?
Am I? Oscar, that was good. You're quick. Yeah, very good. All right, friends. Today, we are talking about the patience of God. And Ray has a headache. Why rubbeth thy head, Ray?
Oh, just losing patience with you guys.
Yeah.
I have the patience of a doctor.
Do you, Ray?
Mm-hmm.
The patience?
It was too deep. I didn't even get it.
I get it.
That's pretty good.
So yeah, today we're going to talk about God's patience. We've been delving a little bit into some different topics. We just recently dealt with the mercy of God. Mm. And
we should go through the attributes.
Ooh.
We've kind of already started doing that.
Yeah.
We've done some before, and different ones, but yeah.
You know, the patience of God, I think, can only be appreciated by someone who really, really realizes and understands what an impatience causer they are. You know, you can't really appreciate it unless you really recognize what an annoyance you are.
That's true.
And did I tell you guys, have I ever said this before, what I used to do to the bus driver? I know I've told you, Mark, but I have to tell you guys what I used to do to the bus driver when I was in high school.
No.
Okay. So
not today.
So one day I got off the bus and you know, went home, and then I got back on the next day, and I had been terrified because I lost my wallet. So I walked back on the bus, and the bus driver goes, "Hey, is this your wallet?" I go, "Yes!" I was so like stoked that he found my wallet.
Stoked? That was rad.
So anyway, I go, Phil, oh, thank you so much for finding my wallet.
Was his name?
Phil, yeah.
Okay.
I was a freshman.
He became a doctor later.
My mama used to say. So his name was Phil. He found my wallet. I was a freshman, 14 years old.
Is this going?
No, it's not going anywhere. It's just going to keep going like this the whole time. I weighed about maybe 3.5 ounces, maybe. And so every day I would walk on that bus with my big eyeballs, with my very light feather weight. And I would say to him every day, "Hey, Phil, thank you for finding my wallet." And then sometimes I'd trick him because I'd be going on and I'd walk on. I'd go, "Hi, Phil." And I keep going. And I'd turn around and go, "Hey, Phil, thank you for finding my wallet." Shut up, you idiot!
He said that.
Drove the guy crazy. He flipped his lid on me. I drove him nuts. The guy finds my wallet every day. Hey, Phil. Oh, by the way, have I told you, Phil? Make her find my wallet.
What would you say to him today if you were to see him?
Phil. Sorry, Phil.
Phil, thank you for finding my wallet. But, you know, it really...
You antagonized him, drove him nuts.
Yeah, I just...
I identify with him.
The guy...
He's the homeless guy across the corner.
Yeah, he lost his job for going mad.
The guy finds my wallet. And I make it my aim in life to annoy him every day. And then I egged his bus one day.
No, what? Stop it. What is wrong with you?
A friend of mine and I wore masks. We rode our bikes the day we weren't at school.
Do you know how bad that is?
I have a question.
I got to stay with us for a second.
Somebody could have cooked those.
No, yeah. My bus was egged.
Did you ever go by Phil?
No, I used to have this big 34-seater bus, and I had professional riding on it. Someone egged it, and that took the paint off. The egg took the paint off the bus.
Yes, oh, yep, wash it off right away.
I have a question for you, Izzy. Why are you the way that you are?
It's you guys.
Poor Phil. Maybe Phil's listening right now.
Yeah. We should have him on as a guest.
Izzy, what would you like to say to Phil if he's listening right now?
Phil, forgive Mark.
and thank you.
Yeah.
For finding your wallet.
But seriously, though, you know, I think that for us as people, we can't even begin to fathom how justifiably impatient God should be if God could be impatient.
That's true.
And I think it's because we are just so madly in love with ourselves and can't figure out why in the world we would be an annoyance to anyone. But I think when you look at it from another standpoint, and that's what I want to jump into with you guys, when you look at it from the standpoint of sin and the sight of a holy God, and the first thing that comes to mind, and Ray, I would love for you to just give us some insight on this, is the book of Judges. The book of Judges. Never have I seen God's patience more than in the book of Judges. From every single instance that the children of Israel would rebel against God, and then they'd sin, and he'd send them judgment, and then he'd send up a deliverer and a judge as they'd cry out to him. Ray, doesn't that blow your mind?
Yeah, same thing's happening in our nation. Mm. Israel would forsake God's law and sway into idolatry so they could get into sexual sin. That's the way it happens, and that's what's happened in our country. We have forsaken God's law. That takes away God as being a judge, then you get into idolatry. You have own image of God, which allows you to do things you know you shouldn't. There's one Bible verse I looked at in the light of what we're touching on today, 2 Peter 3:9.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. That's the one.
Should be our favorite.
Right after 1 Peter.
That's our favorite Bible verse. Should be every Christian's favorite Bible verse. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering or patient towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Mm. Imagine if God got impatient on the 24th of April, 1972, the day before I got saved, and he shut the door of grace.
Wow.
And so we exist. We have everlasting life. Death has lost its sting for us because of the patience of God.
Mm. Wow. Amen.
Yeah, let's do one of those. A fist bump.
Do you understand what a fist bump is, right?
Yeah, just short people can't reach across the table.
Ray thought I was attacking him.
Yeah, fist bump to the face.
All right, that's so good. And you know what stands out to me about that is the word that's translated in many different translations. And I actually prefer it because it really captures the meaning. Long suffering. You know, that you suffer long, which means you endure, you don't respond in judgment. And yes, right?
Hurry up.
You're so short suffering.
You stole my joke.
Oh, you like that one that I did?
Yeah. So anyway, but yeah, Mark, the judges, Ray didn't want to answer that, but the judges.
Yeah, God raised up 14 judges, from what I remember, in the book of Judges to rule and reign and to give the decrees of God, and the people were a rebellious people. And they did that which is right in their own eyes when there was no leader, no ruler that was telling them the ways to go. And it's interesting to note that of those 14 judges, 13 of the judges all had a handicap. They all had a reason, an excuse not to be used by God. I like the way the Matthew Henry had painted that picture, that God still today is raising up people, judges, if you would, to decree to the people the way that they are to walk and to respond. And patience is an interesting word here, right? When we talk about godly patience, because it's different than our patience. Scott Hubbard from Desiring God, he points out the fact that this is one of those characteristics of God that we cannot fully fathom, because our human nature has never experienced God-like patience towards other people. Mm. So we have no man-made ruler within our human nature to measure God's patience.
Wow.
That we can't fully grasp it and to understand it. So we begin to use different words to try to explain things. But what's happening, it's much like, as Ray talks about, trying to explain what a sunrise or a sunset looks like to a man who's born blind.
Yeah.
Like, well, what do you say? It's red. It's really colorful if you would. And then when the light hits the clouds, it spreads.
Right.
Like there's no way to fully try to grasp it and understand it. Well, that is much like the patience of God. And he goes on to say, this is what Scott Hubbard says. In Christ, your life, like Paul's, it tells a story of divine patience. Hmm. God was patient with you as you wandered from him, scorning his son, treasuring sin, scarcely giving him or his gospel a single thought. Hmm. He's patient with you now, as you daily find need for forgiveness, and he will be patient with you tomorrow and the next day and until the day of Jesus Christ when he finally finishes the good work that he's begun, as we see in Philippians 1:6.
Wow.
Right, that we cannot fully grasp the patience of God. And one of the things that we brought out inside of our film, what is it? At the very end, when we're trying to give a charge to the people who say, I don't deserve a second chance, one of the things we talk about, well, listen, you feel like you don't deserve a second chance with God. You didn't deserve a first chance either,
yeah,
right? Let alone a third chance or a fourth chance or 70 times seven chances in the single day. So we are here discussing the patience of God, but we have no measuring reed to fully understand and to describe it.
Wow. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Thanks,
Mark. Thank you, Mark, for helping, Ray. Yeah, that's such a good point. Like, how do we grasp what God is like in that regard? You know, it's something that takes infinite wisdom, infinite understanding, omnipotence, to the ability to not just crush people instantly, which shows us that when God did do that, like in the days of Noah, that there was a huge reason for it, because he exercised so much patience before doing that. And then he showed patience in that he saved eight and he saved mankind. You know, just mind-blowing.
Why is it called mankind? Man-cruel would be much better.
That's true.
John Owen has this quote as it pertains, I think it's actually as it pertains to patience, but it's in general in God's attributes, which is he says that we can only measure them by the line of our own imaginations. Hmm. And what he's getting at there is that we only know the patience of man. We only know the kindness of man. We only know the love of man. And so therefore, when we try to measure God's patience, God's kindness, God's love, we don't have a proper measuring tool. We can't fathom how patient he is. I love that you brought up long-suffering. I also love that translation. And as I look back, like the first time we get a glimpse of God's patience is in Exodus 34, when it says he's slow to anger, which is that same thing, that long suffering. And so to put that in context, like when you hear slow to anger, you're like, oh, that's great. But put in context, like God's people are on Mount Sinai. Israel has just been freed from slavery in Egypt. They've been redeemed by God. They've witnessed the Red Sea swallow up their own enemies. They've seen the glory of God through smoke and lightning on the mountain. They've been covered by the blood of the covenant. And the first moment of freedom they get, they exchange the glory of God for a cow. And in Exodus 34, it says, the Lord. Now, what are you thinking? Like, dude, swallow them up. Send the Red Sea after them.
Yeah.
Exodus 34, 6, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. I've said it before. When I first became a Christian, I started reading through the Old Testament. I was like, what are these people doing? What is wrong with these people? They witnessed the glory of God. But then, you know, after some time, you realize, oh, I am these people. Mm. I do that all the time. How quickly do I forget the blood of the covenant that has forgiven me?
Yeah. And that there's somebody said, you know, we go from prodigal to Pharisee overnight.
Yeah, that's good.
It doesn't take any time at all.
Yeah. We love to give things away. We love to give things away. And that's why we will do that every single day here on the Living Waters podcast. That's right, friends. We're giving away goodies for those of you who go to livingwaters.com/podcast and fill out the form. We are giving 10, believe it or not, 10 different people each week goodies from Living Waters, $100 value for each box. You'll get tracts and books and a podcast mug and all kinds of good things. So make sure to participate at livingwaters.com/podcast. And make sure to listen to the very end of the podcast where you will hear the announcement of the winners every week.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, you know, when you've experienced the patience of God, it becomes extremely easy to take it for granted. Mm. And I think that we have to remember, in keeping with that, at the same time, that God is not mocked. And that, you know, I've been thinking lately about the fear of God. I think I may have mentioned it on the last episode, but it's worth repeating that I think we don't have enough of the fear of God in us as it relates to God disciplining us as his people. I did. I mentioned, I think, on the last episode, but
we'll cut it out.
We have to remember that we can't take God's patience for granted. We should be grateful for it. He knows the disposition of our heart. He knows if we're abusing it. He knows if our intent is to just get away with what we want to get away with. And yet it absolutely blows my mind that he continues to lavish us with it time and time again. And then we think about it as it relates to its example for us. You know, James talks about that. Let everyone be slow to speak, quick to hear, slow to wrath. And I love that description, slow to wrath, because I have this, you know, hair trigger in me from my flesh, where I could just, not necessarily like wrath in the way most people think of it, like just this explosion, but just to you know, shoot back.
Whoa, hey, calm down.
Yeah, hey, you know, someone makes a comment or something that I feel slighted by in my flesh and my selfishness, insult for insult. And scripture says, don't give insult for insult, you know, give a blessing, you know, instead. But we're so quick to do that. And Ray, what does patience look like in a moment like that? Someone slights you, someone says something disrespectful, you know, someone mocks your dog.
Ray, as an example.
Ray, I'm just kidding. Okay. Ray, okay. I love Lucy.
Yeah, how do I react? Well, I react the same way I react every day with Ken Ham texting me. It's just always insults and nastiness, and it's built up a thick skin on me. But, you know, the Bible speaks of the patience of Job. James speaks of the patience of Job. Right. Not really the faith of Job. And you see Job in tribulation, and it's tribulation that works patience. That frightens me. Jean-Jacques Rousseau said, patience is bitter, but its fruit is sweet.
Wow. Expand on that a little bit, Ray.
I can't. Two things, and George Bernard Shaw said, two things define you: your patience when you have nothing and your attitude when you have everything.
Wow.
And I'm not a patient person by nature.
Really?
No, I really am. I'm not. You know, I thank God we live on Rush Street. Not many people know the alleyway is actually called Rush Street. Yeah. And it just encouraged me because I'm in a rush for the lost. I'm in a rush for evangelism. And I thank God that I'm surrounded by people who understand that, because I say I want something, I want it quick. It really comes through quick, you know, our graphic artists and people like that. But one thing that's forced me to learn patience, and you guys are going to identify with this, is airports, delayed flights, canceled flights. I've been over 2,000 flights in my life, and so many of those have been, you're just stuck in an airport. And often, this years ago, you guys wouldn't realize this, because a lot of airports have become like malls, but they didn't used to be like that. You're lucky to get a sandwich in a New Zealand airport in the 1970s, 1980s.
Really?
Yeah, you'd just be stuck. There is nothing to do, no entertainment, you know, maybe a television in a corner, an old black and white one. It was just horrific. Mm-hmm. But tribulation does work patience. And because when you're stuck in an airport, there's nothing you can do if the flight's delayed, almost nothing.
Hmm.
Mark Spence is quite incredible. We've been traveling, and I remember once, oh, we've got a five-hour delay. Mark disappears, comes back about 20 minutes later. He says, we're boarding in 5 minutes.
What? And
stuff like, yeah, Mark's just got a talent for finding flights that are all supposed to be canceled, but he got someone. Didn't you, Mark?
I'm here for you, Ray.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Mark's traveled with me for years, and he's done that.
Yeah, boy, airports have changed. You know, Rachel and I were at the airport yesterday, and... Was that?
Were you playing soccer or swimming?
Pretty much, almost. I mean, you know, with the lounges they have now. Yeah. And they'll do, like, there was one airport where they had, like, this kind of water show going on. And in the middle of the...
That's called amazing. The ocean. There was a window.
Yeah, I've been to the Singaporean airport, which is rated number one best airport in the world.
Really?
And they have, like, this... They have a green room that's got this giant waterfall in Singapore.
Oh, yeah.
They've got a butterfly garden. I mean, it's like a mall. It's insane.
It's sensible, though, because traveling should be a joy, not a trudge.
Yeah.
Trudge, whatever.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be pressing.
Well, now they have like big screens, and they've got, but this airport was beautiful. But times have changed. But no.
You were stuck in the airport for 2 weeks.
You know, I'll tell you, it can be trying, and it does show me oftentimes just how impatient I am. But, you know, you think of that passage you quoted, Ray, that's James 5:10-11, where he says, my brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience.
Yeah.
Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You've heard the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord. The Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But you see that, you know, that God honors that patience and that long suffering because it's part and parcel with his character and his nature.
So would you say that the rainbow is a symbol of God's patience as well? Because he's slow to anger, abounding in mercy and grace towards people?
Absolutely. I think it says, I should have snuffed the earth out completely.
Snuffed?
Yeah. New word.
You don't know how much slang you use until you travel overseas.
That's true.
You need your translator to translate things.
Yeah.
Well, when you went down under, did you find that or not?
With the slang?
Yeah.
Yeah, you hear different things. You're like, what is that?
Maccas.
Maccas.
McDonald's. Yell.
They call McDonald's Maccas.
Maccas.
What's wrong with
that? And Yell's obsessed with McDonald's, so every morning we get a text, going to Maccas, anybody coming with me?
Maccas. Yeah. But yeah, so yeah, the patience.
I was thinking through the different ways in which God shows patience, and I came up with three. We've already talked about one and a half of them. You can summarize it as he has patience towards us, towards them, and then we find patience mostly in him. And so towards us, as we've been talking about, he is patient to save us. You know, we store up wrath, and in the midst of that moment coming to a saving faith, he has patience towards us. Mm. But he also continued to have patience with us because once you become a Christian, like, you're still in need of grace, and God is slowly refining us over years. He's slowly revealing the darkest part of our own hearts. If he ever all at once just threw the realization of our sin upon us, I think it would destroy us. Hmm. So he's patient in the way that he works through us, and that every day we become more like his son.
Do you think love and grace and add to patience, feed patience? If you love someone, you'll be patient with them. If you've got empathy towards them, because you understand their nature, it's the same as yours, and it helps you be patient with them.
I think so, Ray. I think it's almost like a double-sided coin in that love and grace fuel patience, but then patience helps you to maintain love and grace. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like perpetual motion in a sense. You know, when we're patient towards someone, we're loving in that, you know, love, as I mentioned recently, doesn't seek its own. It's not provoked. Mm. And love is patient, right? So part of its definition. And so then I think when you recall what you have done against others, not just the Lord, we talked last time a lot about what we've done against the Lord. There's, I think it's in Ecclesiastes, I'm trying to remember the exact wording, but what it talks about, like someone slandering you, have you not done the same? I can't remember the wording, but I think when we, consistency is very important to me. When we discuss things, when we're even debating or arguing, And so often we're inconsistent because we don't think down the line of like, we're upset and frustrated that someone was talking about us. How could you, or this is a good example, right? You hear that someone was complaining about you to someone else. And the first thing we say is, hey, why don't you come to talk to me about it? Why did you have to talk to someone else about it? How many times have we done that? Mm. But when we speak that way, we're acting like...
43, is that what you said? This morning.
You counted them, right?
43 times this morning.
Yeah.
But do you guys know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. when we act like that, because it's not like... Obviously, it's justified if someone does that, if you're so compelled to say to him, hey, brother, would you mind coming to me and talking to me directly? I really want to know because I want to get it right. You know, sometimes right. if you tell other people, it can turn into something else. But when we come at someone with the attitude of, how could you do that? Like as if though it's beneath us when we've right. done it so many times. Hmm. You know, so I think remembering what we've done and you know, the saying of like, you've heard the thing of like someone gets busted for something and they go, yeah, I didn't do this really, but I've done a lot of other things. So I deserve it in any way, you know.
Busted?
But ooh, no, all right, busted.
Yeah, that kind of
makes sense. I don't know. Am I just blabbing?
No, totally. That kind of gets to the second way is God's patience towards them, towards his enemy. And even, I mean, because we think to ourselves, like often we think, oh, you know, that political party, those kind of people, what, like, how can they continue to go about what, where, you know, when is God going to bring down his wrath? And I think that often when we get frustrated with, you know, the other side, we have to remember that the reason why God hasn't brought down the fullness of his wrath is because he's still saving people from that side. Mm. So the patience that he has towards them. And then lastly, all of this is summarized in the patience of Christ on the cross, right? I mean, like he, you know, we talked about earlier, like doing right in your own eyes, the pinnacle, the peak, the crescendo of doing right in our own eyes. It starts with Adam and Eve in the garden. It continues in Exodus and Leviticus and Judges, and it crescendos when man kills God. Mm. That is where doing right in our own eyes peaks. And in that moment, Jesus didn't go against his will. Man, do you ever think like he could have called down a legion to protect himself, but his patience took him all the way to being humiliated, to being nailed, to being mocked, to being crucified, to taking his own last breath. The God who created and sustains everything had patience unto death for us.
Wow. Amen.
For us.
I think this is where 2 Thessalonians 1:4 is fitting. It says, so that we ourselves, both of you among the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. And then later on, he says, which ties it together, now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ.
So good.
So he's commending them for their patience and then highlighting the patience of Christ. May God direct your hearts into that. You know, Mark, what about the area of patience toward others in areas of growth, in that we get so easily impatient with someone who's unsanctified in a certain area, but we act as if though we've always been sanctified in every area of our life? That must grieve the heart of God.
Yes, I think, of course, you know, we have to begin to think, if it wasn't for the grace of God, there go I. It's easier to have patience with someone when your eyes are focused on the Lord. And when they're not, I think subliminally think that we've attained into some level. You're such a terrible driver, not realizing that at times we are terrible drivers, much like you just said about 5 minutes ago. We get sidetracked by not realizing, recognizing that all the things that are happening inside of our lives is working together for our good. So that impatient driver who's behind us, who's not patient, is actually good for us. Or that driver that's in front of us and we're not patient is working together for our good. That everything is just kind of strategically being put into place. Mm. I mean, God is infinitely patient. You know, you consider what Oscar was talking about with, you have this glorifying experience with traversing through the Red Sea, and you see how God moved radically. And then, like, the first thing they do is they build a golden altar of a cow. Right, I mean, it doesn't make any sense that God does such a radical work. We're just so quick to forget the work that God is doing inside of our lives, and realize that he's also working in other people's lives. Yeah. And just because he's not working in somebody else's life at the same rate that he's working inside of our lives doesn't mean that he's not working inside their lives, and it negates the work. Mm. So
that's good.
Patience, it's a difficult thing to pray for, because when you pray, Lord, give me patience, you get a little bit more red lights. Uh-huh. And by way of example, let me explain it like this. You know, I was discipling a young man the other day, and I said, here's the difference of what experience will kind of teach you as you've been walking with the Lord. Let's imagine for a second you're late for work. And as you're driving along, you realize that the light went from green to yellow, so you begin to speed up, and you're going, I just barely made it. But did you barely make it, right? Maybe you passed to the red light, but there's no cops around, so you made it, right? And now you get behind a car, and you get frustrated because they're taking their time. And you're saying, God, get this guy out of my way, get this guy out of my way. Not realizing what you really want is the end goal, which was, I'm late for work. I shouldn't be late for work again. My boss told me I shouldn't be late to work. I pray that you'll work in his heart, you'll work in my heart. But every step of the drive is a work of patience within me that God's still trying to do a work. So I begin to break the law, and I rationalize my crime before God. Wow. And I start praying for the little things, all these little aspects, that light, now that light, that person behind that person. And I'm thinking, this is what it's all about. And God says, no, those things I'm working inside of you, but what you really want, I get it, just pray for it. You're late for work.
Wow.
That's what you need to pray for. You're not praying, you shouldn't be praying for a green light, really, as much as you think you do. What you need to pray for is where you messed up. Wow. And that's where I want to meet you at.
That's good.
So having all of these little inconveniences inside of our lives are going to teach us to be more Christ-like and to be more patient. Mm. Because God takes great delight in taking care of that, being late for work, and showing what he can do in the midst of your mess up. Mm-hmm. But you can't help God out by running that red light and being impatient with that person and not showing love to that person.
Wow, Mark, that's very profound, man. Mm-hmm. Ray, so I want you to give us like a practical scenario.
Okay. Here it goes.
Somebody just, let's take a young believer. They just did something that was very immature and very annoying.
I already apologized.
our resident teenager, Oscar. And you as a loving Christian want to approach them in a way that demonstrates patience. How would you go about that?
You idiot.
Did you get this gift basket?
Romans 14 says if someone comes in and they're a new believer, be patient with them. That's what it's actually saying. They think they can't eat meat. You know they can. You can have a burger right now, but don't be impatient with them because they're coming from a different direction. I often see impatient comments regarding unsaved people on the YouTube. And I think as Christians, we've got to look at the ungodly, the most nasty atheists. We don't know where they're coming from. We haven't walked a mile in their shoes. And if we did, we'd have to return them.
We would have stolen them.
That's it.
You shall not steal.
But seriously, everyone comes from different directions. Someone's brought up in some horribly religious home that's not Christian. They've seen hypocrisy. And that's why they're objecting towards the things of God. They've put us all in the same boat and think we're just one and the same. And that's why they're nasty to us. So we've got to learn patience with the ungodly. Servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Does it say patient in there? Mm. Meek and meekness.
Yeah, no,
I think
patience,
it does say patience.
Yeah, patience toward all, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what we need to have, especially with the ungodly, because we want to see them saved. And that's what the Apostle Paul said about his own testimony, him coming to Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life.
Wow.
So Paul was saved to show the patience of God as he went about killing Christians, torturing them. Wow. God was patient with him because he had a plan for him.
Mm. That's such a, man, I'm so glad you brought that up, Ray. And that's one of the most powerful passages as it relates to evangelism, 2 Timothy 2:24-26. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. And that patience, again, should be tied to remembering who we were and where we were, you know? And we just, again, because of that wicked, evil itch that we want to scratch, we do things that conflict with what our demeanor needs to be.
You should get that checked out, by the way.
I like
the wicked evil.
I like the itches, itchy. But the thing is,
How do we go from like sober to idiots?
That was my fault. Sorry.
1.2 seconds.
It's real easy.
I'm like, that's real easy. Oh no, but seriously, when you think about it, you know, it's what is impatience? It's sin. Mm-hmm. It's sin. It's a demonstration of, I really don't want to take the time to reflect the love of God towards you, the tenderness and gentleness and love of God. I don't care about, let's say you erred, I don't care about helping you to grow and improve. I'm just annoyed, and my response that's tied in with annoyance is my form of giving myself some sort of comfort or ease or relief. And I don't care about you. That's ultimately what it means. You know,
it kind of goes back to the garden, because in the garden, there's two lies that Eve believes. There's the lie that God's not good. And then there's a lie about who she is, that she could be like God. She makes herself into a God, essentially, both Adam and Eve. And so I think our impatience comes from the same thing. Our impatience is either, ultimately, you've sinned against my Ten Commandments. You've disobeyed my expectations, my standards, and therefore I am impatient or frustrated with you. Oh. That's the first one. Or the second one is the impatience of just not understanding how God has been patient and kind towards you. Because when you see your life as overflowing with grace, then you will have a lot of grace to offer other people.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, and I think that, you know, you get to a place where you start realizing, man, I would be just devastated had God not been patient with me. And I want to love people. And like I talked about the other day when we were talking about another subject, it doesn't mean, well, patience in one sense can say, I'm not going to mention that. Like, you just slighted me, you just did something, because it's a man's glory to overlook a transgression. Mm-hmm. I don't have to go around, and I think some of us, we have this innate sense of like, we have to right every single wrong. We have to touch on everything or else. No, we don't have to do that. Sometimes overlook it. And you'll be surprised, because the person who sinned against you knows they sinned against you. They know you know they sinned against you. And then they watched you demonstrate grace by just letting it go, being patient, giving God time to work. Other times we must speak, but it's how. It's the, look, man, you've done this so much. I can't take this anymore. I can't stand it. This has got to stop. Versus, hey, brother, look, man, I care about you. And I know I would want you to speak into my life if there was something I was doing. And I love you. And I just want to give you some perspective on this issue, you know. And we go forward and we show, we're like, it's like we detach ourselves from the personal assault and insult, and we speak objectively because we love them, you know. It would do wonders.
I think what you're saying is, don't be extra and yeesh your way into that conversation.
Because that's sus.
You know, yeah, plan. That's sus. And yeah. If you're patient like God, bet.
Yeah. Do you understand that right now?
I got it all.
Now that you're informed? Yeah. Ray's a pro now in the
I'm
teenage
really excited
lingo.
About it.
Yeah. All right, friends. Well, thank you for your patience with us. Let me leave you with this final verse, Romans 15:5. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus. We hope this has encouraged you, friends. And yeah, make sure again to check out the Tough Questions course. Don't forget the mugs, Evidence Study Bible, all at livingwaters.com. And friends, we want to hear from you. So remember, podcast at livingwaters.com. Remember to go on the platform where you listen and comment and share. Why is everyone messing with their cell phones? What? What are you guys doing? Anyway, friends. Oh, see how impatient I was with you guys? My rudeness?
Yeah,
I'm a sinner. Thanks for being patient with me, friends. Again, thank you for joining us. We'll see you here next time on the Living Waters Podcast. The ultimate cure for insomnia. Watch, I'm going to snore and see how patient my friends are with me.
Oh, easy.
See? Impatient, Ray.
Hittick.
Winners, winners, winners. That's you, friends. Those of you who I'm about to announce are the winners of this week's podcast giveaway on the Living Waters Podcast. We've got Carlos from Lamont, California, Daniel from Jamestown, North Carolina, Ed Washburn from Tennessee, David Norwood from North Carolina, Doug Campobello from South Carolina, Ali from Falls Church, Virginia, Adrian from Hattiesburg, Mississippi, Joshua from Excelsior Springs, Missouri, Eva from Bow Island, Canada, and Penelope from Bardwell Park, Australia. Shout out to the Aussies and the Canadians out there. Friends, you can get this too. Those of you who are listening, just share the word and sign up for the Living Waters podcast.